You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Tom's Hirschsprungs podcast. This week I have Amy with me, who is a Pilates instructor, a Bachelor of Health Science and Nutrition, and the owner of a holistic health and well-being company called Fern and Flow. And also a happy rare disease day to you as well, Amy. Welcome to podcast.
Thank you for having me, Tom. It's lovely to meet you.
You too. Thank you for coming across. I must just remind listeners as well, this is taking place across several time zones. So it is about midday where you are and 2 a.m. where I am. So it's if I sound a bit ropey or a bit tired, then I do apologize.
Dedication.
Absolutely. We'll go straight into it and kick things off with your diagnosis of Hirschsprung's disease at around about 12 days old, which is generally within the first 3 weeks people tend to be diagnosed. You described your diagnosis as one of the worst documented. How has that become?
Well, I was born in 1990, which isn't really that long ago, but in the world of Hirschsprung's disease, it kind of is. And I was born in a small country town. And, you know, my mum gave birth to me, everything was going well. And just within a matter of days, they realized when I wasn't passing meconium and my tummy was very distended, I was obviously very uncomfortable that something was not right. And no one in this country town was able to diagnose me. They tried obviously everything that they could. And as far as I'm aware, I was popped into a helicopter and taken to Brisbane, which is one of our major cities here in Queensland. And it pretty much just escalated from there. I was admitted under the care of Dr. Fred Leditsky. Now, if you Google Dr. Fred Leditsky in the 1990s, he was the bee's knees and one of the best pediatricians going. And he knew quite quickly what was going on. And yes, at 12 days old, I was taken into surgery. And that's when they realized how hectic my diagnosis was. I obviously was missing a lot of those ganglion cells, and it didn't just affect the small portion of the intestine or the colon that it normally would. My whole large intestine was affected, my colon, parts of my small intestine. It was a wreck. So they removed what they called the bare minimum at the time, and popped through an ileostomy. And then anyway, as the years went on, I kept getting sicker and nothing was really improving. I was alive, obviously, but life was very, very, very difficult for obviously me, but my mum and dad as well, because my health just wasn't improving. So at the age of 7, they decided to do a total colectomy. So they went in and pretty much took everything and left me with what I needed to survive, which was 100 centimetres of ileum. That's all.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Just take the whole lot. Just leave you with the absolute bare minimum.
Literally. Wow. Yes. Wow. So my ileostomy became permanent. I have had doctors and surgeons over the years suggest maybe trying a reconnection, but I guess when you're growing up with this ileostomy that's the reason you're alive, the thought of it being taken away, it's a bit scary.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I love the way that you can remember your doctor's name, because I can remember mine as well, Dr. Edward Kiley. I guess it's probably one of those things that just always will stick with you forever. And I like that.
Absolutely.
I
And
like
you
that.
know, Dr. Fred Leditsky, he was my main specialist from 12 days old right up until I was 16, classed as an adult. Here in Australia, once you're 16, you are no longer in a children's hospital. You are moved over to the adults hospital. So I had him for, a good portion of my life.
Yeah, very similar to over here. When you go from, I was at a hospital called Great Ormond Street in London, and you go from there, and then you move into the more adult ward at, I want to say 16, I believe. But yeah, no, very, very similar. So if we take from there, you originally wanted to become a hairstylist, when you moved to, if I got this right, Toowoomba. Have I got that
Yes,
right? Yes, lovely.
beautifully
Sounded like a native there. Absolutely.
Yes.
You moved from the South Coast to Toowoomba, and became interested in real estate. And from what I understand, became very successful in real estate. And then after that, you are founding, or doing what you are now in health. Lifestyle, well-being, and nutrition. Was that something that you were always interested in, or is that something that's come through recently?
Look, in all honesty, I lived my first 30 years of life in fight or flight. And I feel like my personality is very much just energetic. I've got such an energetic personality and persona that I feel like the hairdresser, I did 8 till 9 years of hairdressing. And then went into real estate, and they were just such full-on energetic jobs. And the best part about those jobs was they kept me physically active. And I feel like when you have a disease like this, if you don't stay physically active and busy, you feel everything, if that makes
Definitely.
sense. So I feel like I lived my whole first 30 years trying to ignore what actually was wrong with me. It's very obvious that I have a bowel disease and I have an ileostomy and I've had a bag my entire life, but I'm such a driven person that you just don't tell me no. Just don't tell me no. And if you do, I'll only go 100 more percent. That makes sense. And I feel like that's just what I did. The hairdressing was a busy job. It kept me busy. The real estate was very, very busy. So I was constantly active and just putting my internal well-being to the side because that was too scary for me. I could deal with the physical aspect, but when I actually had to sit still and focus on what was actually going on in my life, I didn't deal with that very well. So the best thing for me was to just stay busy. So I did that. And then I had a daughter, many, many years of IVF, pretty much my entire 20s. My husband and I spent doing IVF, followed by lots of miscarriages, lots of loss, lots of heartbreak. We ended up conceiving a baby that is now 7. She's 7 years old through surrogacy. So my beautiful younger sister was able to carry our daughter Francesca for us. And that's when things changed. I was forced to sit still. I was forced to be at home in my own, I guess, oasis, in my own zone. And I was just me and a little baby. And I had to do a lot of inward work. And it became very evident once I became a mother, especially to a daughter, just how important the mental well-being is. As well as our physical well-being. And I spent a lot of time at home with her and then very quickly went back into real estate. And from there, that's where my life pivoted, because once we'd had our baby, it was no longer on our radar to conceive anymore. So I started having or recognizing a lot of my reproductive issues. So from having years and years and years of surgeries, pelvic surgeries, abdominal surgeries, we found out that the reason I was never holding on to these pregnancies was all the scar tissue from all of my bowel surgeries had actually grown onto my reproductive organs. So my uterus, my fallopian tubes, my cervix, everything was gummed together with scar tissue. And that's why the babies could never grow, because the scar tissue would just tear and I would lose everything. And those miscarriages were horrifically painful. And I thought that was normal. I know miscarriages are not comfortable, but I thought that the hospitalization type pain after a miscarriage was normal.
Right.
So I went through a couple of days after I turned 30, I went through a full hysterectomy. And when I say full hysterectomy, they took my cervix, tubes, ovaries, uterus, and my colon, because part of my colon was attached to my uterus. That's how much pressure was in my body and in, scar tissue. It was just a big old mess. So that surgery, I would say, despite having my ileostomy, I would say that surgery was probably the most excruciating, life-changing aspect of my life. And it was almost like that closing of the door. It was just whatever they took with them, they took a part of me, and it never returned. So that's when I went down that big old rabbit hole. I was forced to be on bed rest for almost 18 months because, typical Amy, that one hysterectomy then led to five more corrective surgeries, because I just ended up with infection, more scar tissue, adhesions, infections. It was a crazy, wild, scary time. And I feel like coming out of that, it was like I had another chance at life, and I was born a different person. And that's when I fell into the holistic space, just really being forced to take charge of my health and well-being.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic story. And I just pick up on something you said there about mental well-being being so important, because obviously a lot of people with not just stomach conditions, but a lot of chronic conditions can deal with the physical pain, can deal with that sort of, whether it be day to day or when things flare up and get bad, and you get really bad physical pain and you deal with that physical pain. But it's the emotional side as well that I think gets overlooked quite a lot. And I think making people aware of that as you do, I think is really, really important, because I would say both are equally as important as each other. Both emotional and physical well-being are both incredibly important. But yeah, no, that's what a story. That's a fantastic story. And all the surgeries as well. And he said that they've taken obviously a lot out of you. And that caused you quite a bit of pain. Does that pain stay with you, or is that pretty much pain-free now?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I wouldn't say pain-free. I would say the pain is different. Yes, there is still pain, what I call phantom pain. And I've been working through this with a women's physio, because once your colon is removed, you essentially are left with nothing. but the body doesn't recognize it. So, you know, it's hard to say, but for a long time, I don't think my body was registering what was going on. I mean, we knew on paper that the colon had been taken along with the uterus and all this other stuff, but the pain in the lower part of my back was excruciating to the point where I found myself holding my breath a lot, which is not good because then that affects the oxygen that we need in our body to keep going. I noticed my blood pressure was changing, and I think it was because I was, instead of breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, as we are taught to do, I was taking short, sharp, shallow breaths because that's all I could do with the pain. So that is also where I fell deep down and I hit the books. I hit the books. I thought I can't live on pain medication. I wanted to finally get all this stuff out of me so that I didn't have to live on any more medication because I don't know about you, but it's all good and well to live on these medications that block out the pain. But that just causes other issues because it stops you from feeling what you're supposed to be feeling. And that's pretty much, I feel like, what happened to me is I was just brought up on so much medication that I never was actually able to feel where the pain was coming from so that I could work how to push through that specific pain spot. So I have very much learned to just breathe. I know it sounds absolutely incredibly insane because the pain can be so horrific, and you would think, breathe. Of course, I breathe when I'm in pain, but we actually don't. Our breathing pattern changes, and the oxygen is not getting to where it's supposed to be. And once again, it's in the mind. You've got to work with what's happening in your body. We're so accustomed to just taking a pill and forgetting that the pain is there. But I had to really stick to what I wanted to do, and that was getting off all the. I was on Plexia for a long time, and you shouldn't actually be on Plexia for longer than 28 days because then it can become addictive. And I lived on Plexia. I would do my 28 days and I would have a break, push through the pain, and then I would go back on. But it did get to a point after my hysterectomy where the Plexia just didn't do anything. So, yeah, I had to learn how to breathe. So, yes, I very much do still experience the pain, but I know I have the tools now to work with it.
And is this where your current business kind of stems from?
Absolutely. I think you've probably received this over your lifetime as well. When you do talk to the doctors and the specialists who I will ever forever be grateful for, but when you try to ask them about nutrition, you know, is there certain foods I should be avoiding? Is there certain foods I should be consuming? Do I need more protein? Should I? Just all the questions. And usually the answer is no, you'll be fine. Just eat whatever you want. I have had a few doctors over the years say, oh, you know, stay away from this food group and stay away from that food group. And now that I'm educated, they're the food groups that are so high in nutrients that our body, more than anyone else's, should be sustaining every day, consuming every day. So I did. I just jumped straight into a degree, as I do. I said to my husband one day, I'm quitting real estate and I'm going to uni. And that's pretty much what I did. And I'm in the thick of my degree at the moment. And I've learned more about my disease and my body in the last 18 months than I have in the last 34 years.
Does that come through as well? You mentioned before, and I know I've done the same, where you just effectively sort of block out and you go, right, I just won't think about Hirschsprung's disease. And then, as you said, you don't tend to learn a lot about it if you just block it out, like with anything. And so learning more about Hirschsprung's disease, was there anything in particular that you've learned through Hirschsprung's disease that you feel would be beneficial for, in a more general sense?
Not directly just yet. I'm very much involved with the science in my degree at the moment. I'm yet to delve further into the nutrition aspect. However, the internet is a beautiful place, and because I have access now to the big, beautiful library of the university, I have gone and hit the books around, especially surrounding bowel disease. And to be quite honest with you, one thing I have recognized is that whether we have a disease or not, there is so many processed foods that humans should be staying away from. And I feel like it's shoved down our throats so much that we need to live on all these fancy salads and vegetables, and don't get me wrong, they are important. But me, especially growing up, I was always told, just be careful of eating, carrot or corn or all these types of things. But no one ever told me why. And that's where I'm understanding food now in terms of how it sits in our gut and how it sits in our intestines. So I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of intestines. So my metabolism is extremely quick. So if I've learned anything, it's I need to be making sure that what I am eating is extremely nutrient dense because it's not in my body as long. So what needs to be in that food has to have the protein, it has to have the fiber, it has to have the carbohydrates, the fats. Staying around those types of food groups are essential, especially for someone with a bowel disease. It's our gut microbiome. We need to be treating that as though we treat our expensive cars. And I think that's what's missing in schools these days as well, as we're taught how to handle so many adult things, but we're never taught that above anything, our nutrient intake is so important. So, without giving any directed advice, because that's not what I'm here to do, but my personal takeaway from everything so far is just focusing on those food groups and making sure that when I am eating, or when anyone with a colostomy bag is eating as well, drink before, set your gut up. So we see a lot, have a big drink of water after what we eat, or drink during that food, while we're sitting and eating. Set the gut up, set the digestive system up first, have your water, and then eat. I find with processing foods, that's so much more comfortable.
That makes a lot of
Definitely.
sense. That definitely makes a lot of sense to set up beforehand. It's interesting you mentioned carrot and corn as things to stay away from. I don't think I was. I think I had the sort of general advice, make sure you vegetables and yada yada yada, not too much spicy stuff, blah blah blah. But yeah, carrot and corn, that's a new one on me. I never that wasn't
And I
that that
think
was never
too,
something that.
because, well, I think too, it's because it those types of food groups, they tend to come out the way they go in. So the body, they're a hard food to break down. So once again, chew food. That's where good digestion actually starts, is how we're chewing our food. Throwing your food back and really just hurrying up and swallowing it, that is so not good for our guts. Absolutely no way. Make sure you're taking the time to sit and chew your food before you swallow it.
Yeah, I can definitely take that advice. I eat far too fast. I always have done.
So
I
does my
just
husband. So does my
do.
husband.
It's strange because I have an older brother who eats very, very slowly and has always eaten really, really slowly. And then I've always eaten really, really fast. So whenever we had family meals, I was always finished sort of 5, 10 minutes before he was, which was never a good sign, and I knew it was wrong. So I've tried to eat a bit slower over the years, but it does take time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It does. It does. It's, and once again, unless we're taught, we don't know. We're taught how to walk, we're taught how to ride a bike. But when are we taught to eat? We're just not. I mean, times are changing. Don't get me wrong. The way I parent my daughter is very different to the way my mum parented me. I mean, when I was young, my parents were just in fight or flight. Whereas now I have that education and I have that life experience around me. And that is now what I plan to do with my business, is to help educate other people on how to, you know, I believe our gut is our second brain, and without good gut health, how are we supposed to function?
Absolutely. So if we go onto your business, Fern and Flow, am I right in saying it's not just nutrition, it's lifestyle, it's well-being as well? Would that be correct?
100%. 100%. I'm very, very big on movement and exercise. I believe it's medicine. It is total and utter medicine, because most of us who are lucky enough to have the ability to move our body and get out of bed and go and enjoy the life that we have, I feel like it's just a pattern. And if we're moving and we're doing all the right things to set ourselves up for the day, it all comes down to mindset. So, you know, not just physical, but mental as well.
Absolutely. No, I definitely concur. In saying that, the business itself has been up sort of a few weeks, a matter of months. Is that correct?
Yes, it's not very long. No,
very new
not
venture.
Very long at all. Yeah,
and,
it's very new.
And within that time, within that time, you've started to share your story on Instagram. Is there any reason as to why you're starting or sharing the story now?
I think it comes down to, once again, I have just always kept myself so busy. I've never actually focused on my own story, and I didn't know the power that I actually had until I did start sharing little bits and pieces, and I was receiving some very, very deep and personal messages in my inbox. People sharing their own struggles, not necessarily with Hirschsprung's disease. Many women and men out there who are struggling with their gut health, their digestion, bowels. And it's just, they didn't realize, a lot of people did not realize that just because you've got a bowel disease and a bag, that you can't go and still live a normal life. So that there is my message. Just because you have something that you are told is going to limit you in life, doesn't mean that you have to follow that.
I wholeheartedly support that. One of the reasons I started this podcast is because I wanted to showcase people and interview people who have done extraordinary things and have lived not just a typical normal life, but have gone on to achieve fantastic things in various aspects, like yourself. And you're in real estate and in nutrition and in sport. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this, because I wanted to show people, and I've got a few messages from people who said, I never knew that, you know, there were people with Hirschsprung's that did this or did that have achieved so much. So yes, definitely, definitely concur with that. And I guess lastly, as we running out of time a little bit. But yes, lastly, where do you see your business going sort of in the future?
I love working with people, obviously, because that's all I have ever wanted to do. And I think taking the opportunity to really focus on my own disease and my own life, I just honestly cannot wait to be able to go and work with other people who are struggling as well, not just with their physical well-being, but their mental well-being. I mean, I do know a thing or two about pushing through those hard times and those hard days. So mindset for me is absolutely everything. Movement, I love to get people up and moving, because if I see that people have the opportunity to get up and move, but they just can't push through that mindset, that is what I love. I love getting people out of their comfort zone. And absolutely nutrition, 100% nutrition. I feel like that's what's missing in the healthcare system. And it's not to say that these amazing doctors don't want to do it. They just, it's not in their degree. That's why there is nutritionists and dietitians. So I feel like I definitely have a hand up of actually relating to the client, to relating to actually how it feels physically, not just how it looks on paper. I can actually relate to people. So I really do, really do look forward to working with people closely and just building this platform around awareness and just inspiration. It has taken me nearly 35 years to realize that my story is quite impactful. And I don't normally love the spotlight. So I think that's what I've had to really push through is I don't love the spotlight. I just love to get out and just live my life and do what I'm doing. But yeah, I have reached that point in my life where I'm just ready to help others.
Fantastic. Yeah, very true. That personal touch I tend to find, and especially in a personal business like yourselves and the business I was in as well, tends to be incredibly important. If people can see that you can go through the hard times and come out the other side and be very successful, I think that's really, really impactful. Really, really impactful.
And it's not just one thing. I feel really sad when people think that it's just one thing, but it's not. It's mindset, yes, but it is the physical opponent too, and what we're feeding our bodies. It is a correlation of everything. And I feel like it's daunting at first, but if you have somebody in your corner who's there ready to cheer you on and hold your hand and pat you on the back and celebrate your wins, no matter how big or small they are, having someone that is in your corner who has actually been there and done it, it hits different. I feel like it feels different knowing that person that's in your corner has been through the trenches.
Definitely, definitely, totally agree. And finally, where can people find you?
So I'm only on Instagram at the moment because I'm in the very early stages of my business. And so just follow me at Fern and Flow. And I do share, I plan to share a lot more on there. It's definitely in the coming weeks. And I also obviously have a personal page as well, which is just Amy Morrisby. So definitely can follow me on there. And I love a good chat. So if anyone ever wants to pop into my DMs, I will always be there and always happy to help wherever I can.
Like I did.
Yes, absolutely. I was so excited to hear from you because there is so much awareness around Hirschsprung's disease now. And it's great. And there's still a lot of doctors out there who I've, you know, told. My husband recently had diverticulitis, had some bowels removed, and when I was explaining to him that I had Hirschsprung's, he kind of just looked at me. So it is, you know, you just, we need to remember there is people out there that have no idea what this is. No idea.
You get that quizzical sort of, look,
yes.
And then you go, right, yeah, okay, I've got to explain it.
Yeah, sometimes you say, oh, you know, Crohn's disease, and they go, oh, yeah, kind of like that, but bigger.
Yeah, longer name, harder to spell, all of that stuff.
Oh, I know, the spelling drives me crazy.
I full disclosure on this, I've only just learned how to spell Hirschsprungs. I was always spelling it with a B, and then I realized I had to do the podcast, and now I've learned how to actually spell the name of the podcast. So yes, I probably should have learned that a bit earlier, but
We've never had to, have we? We just say
no.
it.
No, I'll just say it and get a doctor to write it for me. Well, I wish you every success with your new
Thank you.
business
Same to
and
you,
your
Tom.
new venture. Wish you a lot of success with that.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on the podcast and spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast or Instagram on Tom's underscore Hirschsprungs underscore podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and we'll bring you another episode soon.